Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Church Revitalization, a pastoral guide to church renewal, by Russell N. Small. Narrated by George W. Saris. Introduction. The task of church revitalization is necessary today in many churches. Pastors need to be equipped to meet the need of this moment and see the church flourish. Church revitalization is a noble calling and a humbling endeavor. This endeavor requires both dependency upon God and a skill set that is capable of the task. This book attempts to provide an overview of both the theory and practice required for this task. The logic of this book requires an understanding that this book is divided into two major sections. The first five chapters of the book will provide the ability to assess critical areas in church revitalization. Chapter 1 will offer the ability to assess where a particular church is in the revitalization process and review skills that the revitalizer will need to embrace to be successful. Chapter 2 will walk a church leader through the many decisions one must make to clarify the nature of a particular church. Chapter 3 will review the history of a particular church. A church leader will need to gain a good understanding of what the church has been so that he can understand possible paths for the future. Chapter 4 will offer an approach to assess the community around the church. Oftentimes, community demographics change, and the spiritual needs of the current community must be understood. Chapter 5 will assess the overall health of the pastor and offer helpful checkpoints for a pastor to be able to develop a plan for greater health. The last five chapters will outline a practical approach to implementing church revitalization initiatives. Chapter 6 will simply review the necessity of a clear, actionable plan. Many things must be done to accomplish revitalization in a church, but these must be prioritized and executed in an orderly fashion. Chapter 7 states the necessity of a team. A pastor cannot and should not attempt revitalization alone. Therefore, the logistics of team organization and readiness must be evaluated. Chapter 8 reviews the difficulty of execution. Execution is more about emotional resoluteness than strategy. A good strategy must be implemented. The process of implementation is full of stressors. Chapter 9 addresses the reality of conflict. Change produces conflict, and conflict that is not managed properly can stop a revitalization effort. Chapter 10 discusses future steps in church revitalization after a season of revitalization has occurred. Many churches have been in decline for years, so it typically takes years of sustained effort to see revitalization fully occur. My prayer is for you to listen to this book with intentionality and prayerfulness, not merely attempting to understand the nature of church revitalization, but with a genuine intention to cultivate revitalization in your church context. Chapter 1. Where to start. Welcome to the journey of church revitalization. What a joy to overview a process for church renewal. This book is not merely a book of tips or quick fixes. The content of this book will need to be processed slowly and implemented strategically. There are unique challenges in every church revitalization situation. Pastors and church leadership will know the specifics of a particular church situation better than anyone else. However, there are key areas of competency required to negotiate church revitalization. The intended listeners will primarily be in a pastoral role. The content of the book, however, applies most directly to pastors or church leaders who have a primary role in leading a church through revitalization. Therefore, the terms pastors and church leaders are used throughout the book to denote the group of people who are primary in leading the church revitalization effort. Some sections of the book are more squarely focused on the pastoral office. Other sections of the book are broader in their application to pastors and church leadership because church revitalization is a team effort. Additionally, my personal belief is that the pastoral office is reserved for men. So, I will utilize masculine pronouns to refer to pastoral roles throughout this book. Many pastors and church leaders are daunted by the task ahead. Churches often have deeply rooted habits, limited resources, and a lack of vision and strategy. Church leadership must aid in the development of a series of strategic steps that push the church to become healthy. This must be done at a pace that is doable for the church, and it requires wisdom and insight that can only be gleaned by pastors and church leadership who have the competencies for this task. This chapter will set the stage for the journey ahead, setting forth initial steps on how pastors and church leadership can ready themselves for this journey. By taking this deliberative journey to survey the terrain of church revitalization before fully embarking on the journey, pastors and church leadership can avoid missteps and achieve greater resiliency in the revitalization process. Biblical and theological foundations for church revitalization. What New Testament concepts relate to the process of church revitalization? While the New Testament gives us valuable information regarding the life of the early church dealt more with efforts to plant churches than to revitalize them. Paul's establishment of new churches is different from church revitalization. Some parts of the New Testament, however, do relate to church revitalization. In his third missionary journey, Paul returns to existing churches to strengthen and develop them. Acts chapters 19 through 21. But in a general sense, Paul wrestles in his letters with issues of doctrinal purity, church unity, internal disorder, and moral issues. The churches he wrote to were young and in need of basic instruction, not revitalization. The pastoral epistles, 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, Paul's latest letters, show greater church development. He describes elder and deacon ministry at length, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 13, and gives evidence that ministry to widows has already been developed, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 3 through 16. However, even these ministries would be implemented in a contemporary church plant from the beginning. It is certainly possible in church revitalization that foundational realities about church life might be missed from its inception, and that the initial instruction Paul gave to these early churches would need to be established late in the development of a contemporary church. Even so, directly relating the early churches in Acts and Paul's letters to church revitalization fails to recognize that church revitalization typically occurs in churches older than those described in the New Testament. The closest parallel to church revitalization in the New Testament is found in the opening chapters of the book of Revelation, Revelation chapters 2 and 3. Since the dating of the book of Revelation is around AD 95 to 96, the churches described there have already experienced birth, growth, and decline. These letters that Jesus sends to the churches reveal a complex evaluation of each church situation. Without intervention, a church could cease to exist. Revelation chapter 2, verse 5. Yet each church is called to see its strengths and repent of its weaknesses. This concept of leaning into strengths and ridding the church of critical weaknesses is more akin to the process of church revitalization. The call to the church in the book of Revelation is not a complete restart, but a serious adjustment so that obedience to Christ and revitalization can be attained. Defining church revitalization on a spectrum. One of the difficulties of church revitalization is defining what it is. Many conversations concerning church revitalization stall at the place of definition. While it is warranted to spend time and energy on giving a precise definition of what church revitalization looks like in a particular situation, it seems clear that a one-size-fits-all definition will either be too broad to be helpful or too narrow and omit certain efforts in revitalization. Rather than defining church revitalization with a precise definition, It seems better to approach defining church revitalization along a spectrum or levels of need. Four terms can be helpful in understanding the level of revitalization necessary in a particular church situation. The four terms are refresh, renovate, restore, and replant. Refresh revitalization. Duration of decline, fewer than 5 years. Church resources, capable church membership, maintained facilities, stable finances. Spiritual vitality. Spiritual metrics, conversions, discipleship, etc., relatively healthy. Average time for revitalization, 2 to 4 years. Refresh revitalization. The refresh level in church revitalization requires the least invasive interventions to bring the church back to spiritual health. Typically, in a refresh revitalization church, decline has not been long-term, fewer than 5 years. The church has resources that enable it to quickly turn around, such as strong membership, an adequate facility, and reasonable financial footing. Further, while there has been decline in conversions, worship attendance, small groups, and ministry participation, there is still a strong nucleus of support. A refresh is typically necessary after a difficult season in the life of the church. In a refresh situation, a previous pastoral staff member may have struggled, and the church entered into a season of decline. The decline was not greatly disruptive, but nevertheless, the church is less healthy than in previous seasons. A fresh vision within the church could enable it to lean into untapped resources to bring about revitalization. A refresh revitalization could see clear results within 2 to 3 years. Renovate revitalization. Duration of decline, 5 to 15 years. Church resources, reduced church membership, deferred maintenance on facilities, strained finances. Spiritual vitality. Spiritual metrics, conversions, discipleship, etc., in decline. Average time for revitalization, 5 to 7 years. Renovate revitalization. The renovate level in church revitalization requires more serious interventions to bring the church back to spiritual health. Typically, in a renovate revitalization, the church decline has been long-term, between 5 and 15 years. The church's resources were expended to a great amount during this time. The membership is weakened, the facility has deferred maintenance, and the financial situation is strained. Further, there has been decline in conversions, worship attendance, small groups, and ministry participation. And this decline has seriously weakened the spiritual ministry of the church. A renovation typically comes after several pastoral transitions. The church has steadily declined even after various attempts at seeing new life established. The church has lost a sense of mission and is generally disheartened at the state of affairs. A renovation will require structural changes in the church, along with fresh vision and capable leadership. To see results in a renovate revitalization, churches should not expect to see clear results until year 5. Restore revitalization. Duration of decline, more than 15 years. Church resources, small church membership, building in disrepair, inadequate finances. Spiritual vitality, mission jettisoned to merely survive. Average time for revitalization, 5 to 8 years. Restore revitalization. The restore level in church revitalization requires dramatic interventions to bring the church back to spiritual health. Typically, in a restore revitalization, the church decline has been long-term, likely for generations, more than 15 years. The church has a very inward, often small membership. The facility is typically greatly neglected, and the financial situation is focused on survival, not mission. Strangely, in some restoration situations, the church has a reasonable amount of money in the bank. But this is viewed as a security for the payment of future bills and property maintenance, not strategic mission initiatives. The concept of conversions, discipleship through groups, increasing worship attendance, and ministry participation are often outside the purview of metrics the church understands. Many members who are in a church that needs restoration hope only that the church will exist throughout their lifetime. Some see no future for the church other than a nice place for their funeral to be conducted and hope to see the church remain long enough for this to happen. While this is a sad state of affairs, it is not all that uncommon for churches to face this reality. While churches in this state are not without hope, the generational patterns of unhealthy behavior will require dramatic interventions to bring the church back to life. Dramatic interventions will be resisted by a congregation that is focused on mere survival, not thriving mission. Church leadership, ideally starting with a lead pastor, will need to win the trust of the congregation and be willing to work for the long term, between 5 to 8 years, to see real revitalization. Replant revitalization. Duration of decline. More than 15 years. Church resources. A building with deferred maintenance and an aging church membership. Spiritual vitality. Imminent death threatened due to lack of attendees. Average time for revitalization, more quickly, 1 to 3 years, because a new leadership team with a new core group starts a fresh work. Replant revitalization. The replant level in church revitalization, which is barely within the domain of church revitalization, is basically a church coming to terms with the reality that it does not have the strength to continue without outside intervention. A replant is more closely related to church planting than to revitalization. In revitalization, some aspects of the previous church exist in the new emerging entity. In many replants, the old identity is lost, a new identity is established, and the old church property may be repurposed for a new mission work. This is certainly superior to the closing and selling of the church property. However, replanting is basically a new work using the resources of an older church to accomplish a new vision with a new congregation. Some of the members may become a part of this new work, but the work will be fundamentally different from the previous work. The difference between revitalization and replant. Revitalization. The supernatural work of God that restores health and vitality in a plateaued or declining church, evidenced by submission to God's Word, right relationships among members, and a renewed commitment to Great Commission ministry. Revitalization, existing church, plus existing leaders, plus existing structure, plus history, plus renewed new effort. Replanting. The process in which members of a church facing imminent closure discern God's leadership to dissolve their current ministry and work with other churches or denominational bodies to begin a new church for a new season of ministry in their community. Replant. New qualified, skilled leader, plus existing people, plus new structures and approaches, plus outside partners, plus new people, plus history. A spiritual journey. At times, church revitalization may require other church leaders to step in and initiate change. But for practical purposes, this book will address the typical situation where pastoral staff are the primary change agents in leading church revitalization initiatives. So, where do we begin on this journey toward church revitalization? It is important to know that this journey will be a prayerful and spiritual journey. It may feel intuitive to start the process scheming about your church. However, the ideal place to start the revitalization journey is with a pastor's relationship with God. Pastors and church leadership are a major conduit for church revitalization. The spiritual resources a pastor has will enable him to negotiate not only the failures in church revitalization, but also the successes. It may feel cliché to solidify and celebrate your conversion as a pastor, but it is not. A pastor must know that he has turned from his sin and self and put his faith in Jesus Christ. A pastor must be confident in the power of the gospel to change his own life before he will have that passion to share the gospel with others. Also, a pastor must then know the daily joy of walking in God's presence. It will be from the overflow of a healthy Christian life that church revitalization can be undertaken. Even if success can be accomplished by a pastor whose spiritual life is not in order, the pressure of achieving church revitalization can at best lead to burnout and at worst to moral compromise. Pastors and other church leaders' spiritual readiness must be assessed. A means to analyze a pastor's spiritual readiness for the task ahead is to examine his past behavior. If a sin issue has emerged in the past, the behavior will likely emerge in the future under the stress of church revitalization. Therefore, personal spiritual preparedness is essential for any pastor or church leader undertaking such a spiritually strenuous task. The path to preparedness may not be through greater striving, but through a greater understanding of grace. It is easy to become performance-driven and not rest in grace. At the heart of the doctrine of conversion is the concept of grace. Grace is receiving what you do not deserve. The Christian standing before God is not based on works. It is based on sheer grace. Most pastors do not need to be taught this theologically. They have it worked out intellectually. Pastors, however, so often enter the pastorate with a work-based, performance-based attitude. A pastor becomes too personally connected with the success and failure of the church, and his identity becomes wrapped up in being a pastor and not merely being a Christian who has been lavished with grace. It is important when entering church revitalization that a pastor's personal identity does not depend on church success. If pastors and church leaders find that church success is critical to their sense of identity, then it will be important to seek out a spiritual mentor to communicate God's grace to them so that they can rest in grace and not in personal accomplishment. For example, it will be commonplace for a congregation to refer to pastoral staff as pastor. A congregation may even have a hard time separating the office of pastor from the person. It is wonderful that God has led pastors into ministry. It is a noble vocation. However, pastors need to remember that they have an identity outside of being a pastor. There are other vocations that pastors hold, such as spouse, parent, and friend. Pastors should be wary of fusing their identity with the functions of pastoral ministry and the success and failure of a particular church situation. A pastor must learn to rest on God's unconditional love and grace. Jesus is sufficient to change the lives of the people in our churches. Jesus merely uses pastors and church leaders to aid in this process. Pastors and church leaders' primary goal should be to see people come to faith in Christ and develop in Christ-likeness. This singular focus should inform all church strategies and initiatives. Further, if a pastor does not have a stable spiritual life, the goal of people-pleasing and crowd-building can eclipse disciple-making. Church revitalization can be undertaken with wrong motivations, which can be subtle and deceptive. It is necessary that a pastor's desire for church revitalization be truly for the good of others and not a subtle means to fortify personal identity. The revitalization journey must be taken for the good of those within the church and the community. A pastor must engage in his own process of spiritual formation so that he can be an appropriate conduit of grace and spiritual health to those around him. The ministry is a unique calling. A pastor is the tool that will be used to lead a church. A pastor who has his own heart in order will enhance his spiritual effectiveness in discipling others. A specific calling. Church revitalization requires a pastor, among the other church leaders, to recognize a specific calling to revitalize a specific church. Starting with paid pastoral staff, he must take time to carefully evaluate his calling to church revitalization as a specific ministry assignment. Church revitalization is only one method in God's multifaceted kingdom work. There are many places where God can work, such as church planting, international missions, and mercy ministries. Church planting is a noble calling. There are many places in the United States where there is a need for a new church presence. Further, the lostness of the world is a strong reason to contemplate the international mission field. There are many places in the world where there is no need for church revitalization because there has never been a church. In an ever-changing world, ministry opportunities are endless. There are new platforms on which a person can minister. It is important to evaluate the various options before settling on church revitalization. Even if you decided to fully commit to church revitalization, the revitalized church still has a role to play in aiding in church planting, missions involvement, and various mercy ministries. Church revitalization is merely choosing the location from which a pastor and other church leaders can participate in God's multifaceted kingdom work. A serious evaluation needs to be made as to why a pastor believes God has called him to church revitalization. It is important to write these reasons down. A pastor or church leader may need to consult this list, especially on the bad days. Some of the positive reasons for engaging in church revitalization are seeing new life come to an established church, building on a church's legacy, seeing a gospel presence re-emerge in a community, and participating in God's redemption plan in the context of the local church. There is a unique wonder in seeing a church resurrected in a community where life was previously limited. A clear theological reason to do ministry from the location of the local church is the unique love that God has for the church. While many other places of ministry are noble, the context of ministry from inside a local church receives God's most intense love. Pastors, along with other church leaders, will need to develop deep convictions that church revitalization is, in fact, God's place for them in this season of their life. The process of church revitalization will require a great deal of work. For example, there are challenging seasons in the life of a pastor. A young pastor who is newly married may not be able to take on this task. A pastor who has many family obligations, either due to children or other family situations, may need to think through the sacrifices. An older pastor who may be seeking to serve in a chaplain role, not as a change agent, may not be the right fit for this endeavor. For church revitalization to work, the right season in the life of the church and the life of a pastor must merge. Becoming a visionary. Once a pastor can discern that he is spiritually ready for this task, it is time to start thinking and dreaming about the church. It is important to see the future, what things can be, what the church can be, and to see this vision clearly. To lead in a church revitalization, a pastor must see what the church does not see, at least at first. A pastor must be able to envision what a revived presence in the community would look like. A pastor must be able to see beyond the immediate situation to a future situation when many of the obstacles and problems would be resolved. This will require a great deal of vision and mental toughness. A pastor must believe this vision.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?